I thank the Lord this morning for His love to us. Yeah, I remember many years ago in my early part of my ministry, I was in a meeting in West Virginia, Green Bank, camp meeting. And there were some good preachers there, and I was, like I said, in the early years of mine, ministry, and I did not want to get up in front of them. Brother Clifford Smith was there, and Brother Clifford Wilson was there, and I would have loved to have heard him preach, and I was kind of nervous about it, but the Lord was dealing with me, and I remember going ahead and getting up, and I brought what I felt like was a pretty stirring message on judgment and challenging the saints to be prepared, because I believe that is part of our purpose here, is probably our main purpose, is to prepare for eternity. And I remember sitting down and a little troubled about it all. Brother Mark got up behind me. He said, folks, he said, I want you to know, he said, the Lord just sent us a love message. And whenever He challenges us and reminds us of what is the end of every man's life, He said, that's His love towards us, manifesting that He cares about us and wants us to be prepared and ready for that. I still believe that this morning. Whatever type of a message God gives us, I believe it's because He loves us. He wants us to be aware of things, and He wants us to know what we are about, what He is about. We probably have not lived in any more of a shaky or dangerous time than where we live today. And we've never seen the enemy work any harder than he is today. But I'm glad to know that where the enemy works, and there's the grace of God within us, that we can much more bound over anything that the enemy has designs toward us. To say that we all have struggles and heavy burdens in this life is probably an understatement. But through the scriptures this morning, I want us to be encouraged to know that we're not the only ones that have ever gone through these things. And yet, there's others that have gone through them and they've been faithful. And the Lord has blessed them and brought them through. No matter what is crushing you down today, no matter what the enemy has designed to destroy your joy, your faith, your love, I want us to be encouraged to know that God is still on His throne. You see, we need to understand. We need to be reminded. I think we all understand. But I want to remind you this morning, you know, times, they are changing. I think Mark Twain started off one of his books, says these were the best of days and these were the worst of days. I thank the Lord for the day of salvation we've been hearing about in Sunday school. But these days that we live in probably are some of the worst days as far as the world is condition of the world is concerned. And I want us to understand this morning that the Lord told us to watch and pray. He told us to be faithful in our prayers, to be diligent in our prayers. He told us to be diligent in living for Him, honoring Him, pleasing Him, obeying Him. doing all that we can to do. He said men ought always pray and not faint. And surely we can probably all look around and get crushed underneath such a heavy load and burdens and cares, disappointments, sorrows, sadnesses, that it would be easy to faint. But I want to encourage you to always pray and don't faint. You see, what we need to understand this morning, that even though the Lord told us to pray, and pray we should, we need to always keep it in our minds, God's going to bring this all to judgment one of these days. The scriptures are very plain that Jesus is coming back, and He's going to take this world to judgment. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and those kind of things that the Bible teaches. So, only God in His wisdom knows how to do that. He knows what the dangers are, and He knows why people are being permitted to do things that are heinous, and why people are permitted to fall away and do the different things that people are. God has a plan. Even His Son doesn't know the day or the hour, He said, but God has a plan. And He's going to bring it all to judgment one of these days, so we might as well just buckle up and hold on and be faithful. Because through it all, no matter how the world changes, no matter how wicked it gets, the bottom line is we all want to go to heaven. And by the grace of God, we can. So my little thought this morning is standing our ground. Standing our ground. Now, I don't know how you are, but sometimes things touch my life and seems to weigh pretty heavy. Sometimes the outlook isn't so good. And I tend to be one of those that just say, well, Lord, do whatever you want to do. I'm ready to go. You know, that's good to live to be ready to go. But I believe the Lord wants us to fight. Not only for ourselves, but for our children, for our families, for our country. I believe the Lord wants us to fight, and of course I'm talking about a spiritual fight. And there is a proper way to do that, that He has given us to do that. But I'd like to look at a scripture in the Old Testament. I've visited it many times. Where, you know, the children of Israel have found themselves in places of hard times too. They found themselves in places where they have went after strange idols and strange women, the Bible says. And they've gotten off track and gotten away from God, and God's had to deal with them and work with them. And there's been men that have been found faithful in those things. Lord, help you and I to be found faithful. It's found in Nehemiah. Jerusalem, the walls in Jerusalem had been destroyed. And God came along and talked to Nehemiah. You know the story well, I'm sure. And He told Nehemiah He wanted him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Folks, you and I'm thankful this morning for the walls of salvation that we have. They surround you and I. These walls, God is within these walls. God is upon these walls. And God has everything well in His control. And folks, He is the captain. He is the one that is leading us. He is the one that is guiding us. And He is the one that we are to look to in our hardest and most difficult times and places that we go through in our trials and tests of life. I'd like to begin reading, and I want to do some reading in this chapter. I feel that it's good. In Nehemiah the fourth chapter, and I want to begin reading in the seventh verse. When Nehemiah had gotten permission from the king to go and rebuild the walls, God even moved upon the heathen king to give him the means that he needed to go and to do the work. But, you know, any time you and I set out to do something for God, the enemy's going to oppose that. Today, any step that you make towards God, any step that you make in your own personal experience, in your life, anything that you're willing to deal with as God deals with you, the enemy is going to oppose that with everything that he has. Remember, Jesus said that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as I said earlier, I'm one of those that tend to maybe not fight as I ought to fight. And the Lord showed me that in my little lesson here that he's given us this week. I believe that he doesn't want us to be passive. But I believe he wants us to stand up and fight. Because, folks, there is a cause. There is a cause. And as the song says, we've got a cause we're fighting for. And I believe that God is depending on you and I to fight the good fight of faith, to fight for the cause of not only our souls, which we value the highest and the greatest, but the value of the souls of our loved ones, of our friends, family, whoever it may be, folks, all souls are precious. Doesn't matter who they are. Do you know that those ISIS people over there that are doing those terrible things, their soul is precious? They'll find out one of these days how precious their soul was. When eternity comes and they've been cast away, they'll find out how precious of an opportunity that they passed up. I'm thankful this morning for the truth, saints. I'm thankful for the truth. I see so many out there today that are deceived. Maybe not deceived a whole lot, but they're deceived just a little bit. You mingle a little bit of error with the truth and you're going to be deceived. So I thank the Lord for the truth. Now, some of you had to drive a lot of miles to get here this morning to hear what I hope to be the truth. Because it's the truth, folks, that's going to save us. It's the truth of God's Word that's going to deliver us. It's the truth of God's Word that is going to keep us. So I'm thankful for the truth. He said, I believe in Luke 12:48, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. So the Word of God is very, very important to us, isn't it? Because His words are going to judge us. So here's Nehemiah getting ready or working on rebuilding the walls. And of course, there's always an enemy. The enemy's always lurking around. And it said it come to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. You see, this is the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, the seventh verse. The enemy doesn't like it when you and I stand up with salvation and the blood of Jesus upon our hearts and endeavor to live a holy life. He doesn't like it when you and I stand for the truth. He doesn't like that. So we might as well kind of realize that. You know, why do you feel so imposed upon? Why does he come along and talk to you the way that he does? Why does he accuse you of things the way that he does? He's going to do anything and everything that he can to try to destroy you because he doesn't like it. Ever since the beginning of time when God created man and he gave him a woman and he told them what they should do and told them to obey him, the devil has always opposed what God has done. He killed little innocent children to try to get Moses. The devil killed little innocent children to try to get Jesus when he was born. The devil opposes marriage. He opposes marriage between a man and a woman. He opposes holiness. He opposes godliness. Do you see what kind of a fight that you have this morning? Because if you desire to live a holy life, the devil's going to oppose you, and he will use your children. He will use your jobs. He will use your friends. He will use whatever trial that he can bring your way to try to take the wind out of your sails, if I can say it that way. To try to get you discouraged. He'll use everything that he can. Everything that he can. So it said here they begin, when they saw that the breaches begin to be stopped, they were very wroth or angry. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. There's two things that I want us to get in our thoughts this morning. Two things that I feel is very, very important. We need to be able to understand what a soul is and the value of it. And we need to understand what demons are. Do you believe there's such a thing as demons? The Bible tells, Peter tells us that there were some that have been reserved in chains. Devils that are reserved in chains. That's 2 Peter, the second chapter. Reserved for judgment. But there are devils that have been let loose and that are working very hard in this world today. They cause people to say, well, God wants me to be happy. And what I'm doing makes me happy. It doesn't matter if it's contrary to the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's contrary to the morals of God. You and I wouldn't know what morality was if God hadn't come along and give us the Ten Commandments and told us to live a holy and a moral life. It doesn't matter about those things. The devil comes along, presents himself to our loved ones, to you and I, if he can, and he whispers in our ear, getting us to think things that we ought not to be thinking. So I've said it before, I'm going to say it again this morning. Don't listen to the devil. When something comes along, someone comes along and is talking into your mind, talking to your mind and getting you anxious and getting you stirred up, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you can rest assured it isn't God. It's the devil that wants to keep you in turmoil, keep you stirred up over something. He wants to accuse you, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have said that. That's not God. God won't deal with us that way. God deals with us in love, and He doesn't want you and I discouraged. The enemy wants to discourage us, doesn't he? But the devil is a liar. You got to remember that. The devil's a liar, Jesus said. And he's the father of it. He's the father of lies. Some people get discouraged real easy because they just take time to listen to the devil. Who says you got to do that? Who says you got to listen to him? The Bible says, tells us very plainly that the recipe for that is to draw nigh to God and then resist the devil. Folks, draw to God. When the enemy comes along and he wants to fight and he's unhappy about the way you're living or the things that you're doing, resist the devil after you've drawn nigh to God. Because you're going to need his power and you're going to need his grace to resist the devil, aren't you? Standing our ground. Remember the young people, they haven't heard it in a while, but they sing a song. We're giving up no ground. How much ground are you willing to give up? How much do you want to let the enemy have in control of your life? How much are you willing to do that? I believe you give the devil an inch and he becomes a ruler. And that's what he wants to do, is rule in your life. He wants to ruin your heart, ruin your mind, and he wants to destroy you. That's the only thing he's got in mind. And I know that because Jesus said so. So Jesus said it, and I believe it. So they conspired all of them together to come, verse 8, and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Watch and pray, folks. Keep praying. Now, don't ask God to just change everything. Don't ask God to just make this world a world of peace, because it's not going to happen. God has His way of bringing this to judgment. And God's going to bring it to judgment. You and I, we've had revelation study here. We've been taught this. We've heard this. We read it in the Word of God. We are living in the last of the last days of time. But that doesn't mean we can't enjoy the blessings of life and the blessings of salvation.
The enemy, he's talking in Sunday school about peace and happiness. The enemy wants to destroy that. He wants to take away your happiness. I don't believe we, as God's people, should go around with sad faces, head hanging down, discouraged all the time. I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. I believe He wants us to stand our ground. Because we've got to remember, we're not fighting this battle. That David said the battle's not ours. It's God's. And it's still His battle, folks. And He's well able and very capable of healing the fight, the good fight of faith. So He said here, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there's not much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. Don't let your strength be decayed. Don't let the devil get you down. When you get down, you get discouraged, the things you're looking at don't look right anymore. They look different when you look at it from that perspective.
Yes.
Don't let yourself get in those places. Fight. I want you to fight against the enemy. Fight against his impositions on your mind. Fight against them. I have to. I got to fight against his imposition on my mind. And the thoughts that he brings along sometimes. Because they're not encouraging at all. They bring doubts. They bring fears. And what do they do? And when that happens, it destroys faith, folks. It destroys faith. Faith is under attack today. The Holy Spirit is under attack today. Your love for God is under attack today. Challenging you by the help of the Lord with the Word of God this morning. You know, I've thought so many times, I preach a lot of messages along this line, I know. And I thought, Lord, why can't I preach on love? Why can't I preach on grace? Well, you know, those are thrown in here. But you know, the Lord wants us to be stirred.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to be passive. Just laid back and, well, the Lord's going to take care of all those things. Well, He is. The Lord's going to take care of His church too. But how does He do that? He's chosen to use men, women, to propagate the church. He's chosen to use us, folks, human beings. That's what God works through. God will take care of it all right. But you and I have a duty and a responsibility to stand in that place. Just like others in the past. Just like Nehemiah here. That stood in that place, willing to go against... You think he didn't know there was going to be opposition? They destroyed it in the first place, remember? You think he didn't know that they were going to oppose what he was trying to do? But how was he going about doing that? In the name of the Lord. Folks, we're doing it in the name of the Lord this morning. That's how we're going to gain and be successful in our salvation, is in the name of the Lord. Now look what the adversary said in verse 11. The adversary, or the enemy, said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. They're not going to know. Until the enemy comes in among them. Neither are they going to see. And we're going to slay them and cause the work to cease. What does that little verse of Scripture say? Without a vision, the people perish. Saints, I want to tell you something this morning.
the help of the Lord and in the fear of God. Paul told us, taught us in his writings, he said, not all of them that say they were saints, or he said it this way, not all of them that are of Israel are of Israel. We're going to have people worship among us. You know, some people are satisfied with doing things halfway in their life. Some people are satisfied with getting a shallow experience with the Lord. Some people are satisfied with that. As I've said in the past, give me $2 worth of this thing. Just a couple dollars worth of this salvation. That way, I can go to Monarch and I can go to the camp meetings and I can sit among the saints and I don't feel too much condemnation. I don't feel too much conviction. Just give me a couple dollars worth that I can just sit among them and be among them. I don't make them saints, folks. I'm being honest with you. I'm being open with you this morning. Every one of us have a responsibility to be who we say we are. A minister has no right to preach any higher than his experience, and you have no right to testify any higher than your experience. Because as sure as you endeavor to testify higher than what you are living, and whether what the grace that you have on hand to live, the devil will come along and knock your props right out from under you. You see, we got to realize that in this endeavoring to live for the Lord, even coming together to worship, that the enemy is coming too. The enemy hears what we say. He knows what we're thinking. You know what he's done today? And I don't mean this to get on anyone individual or personally. The folks, he got his people coming to services today and they got their phones and they're looking at this and they're looking at that and somebody's texting them and somebody's calling them and they're doing. Folks, the enemy doesn't care how he gets your attention. He doesn't care what it takes to get you to miss what God's trying to say to your heart. This communication that we have today is causing a lack of communication among the people. You go into the rooms and they're sitting around with their thumbs just going on those things and not talking to nobody. Lost the skills of communication. Out of touch. But they know what those phones have to say. They got all these apps, and don't get me wrong, I got one of those phones and I got those apps. Folks, there's a time and a place, and there's a limit that we ought to put on those things. Because the enemy will use them to draw us away. You know, we're going to come in, they're not going to see, and they're not going to know until we're in the midst among them and slay them. I ask you this morning, anybody here want to be slaved? Anybody here willing to give up their crown? I don't believe so. I believe I know who's here this morning. I believe I know your hearts. But folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, in the fear of God, and I throw myself right in there, the enemy is going to do everything he can to come against you and I, whatever it may take, in such a subtle way like he did Eve. It'll be subtle. You may not know. You may not understand. God wants us to be sensitive, and he wants us to be aware of the needs of our soul. He also wants us to be aware of what the enemy is trying to do to us. Lord, help us this morning. And it came to pass, verse 12, that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. 10 times. 10 times they gave them this discouraging word. How many times does the enemy impose upon you? How many times does he bring the dark thoughts? And bring the dark clouds hovering over you. He knows what that does to us. We're human, folks. We're just flesh. The Bible says he knows that we're but dust. We're just flesh. And the devil knows that. And that's all he's got to work with is your flesh. He can't work with your soul. He can't work with your spirit. But he works with our flesh. And he comes and he tempts us and he tries us. And he imposes himself You say, you think he wasn't imposing himself? They told him 10 times. 10 times they came and said, from every place which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. The enemy wants you to think that he has all power in heaven and earth. But he doesn't, does he? He's got some power. But it's subject to God's power. And I'm so grateful for that today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So because of this, Nehemiah was determined. He wasn't passive. God, this work would have not been done if God would have sent a passive man to do the work. If he would have sent a man at the first sign of the enemy and the threats that were being made, and he would turn tail and run, it wouldn't have done any good, would it? God knew who he was sending. Folks, when God called you, when God chose you, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And when He chose you, He knew who He was choosing. When He chose the Apostle Paul, He knew who He was choosing. The Apostle Paul had to fight the good fight of faith. He had to go through some awful, hard, terrible times. But he said, I'm not going to let any of those things move me. I'm going to stand true. And I'm going to be faithful. Lord, help us this morning. This is reality to me. I don't live in Cinderella's world. I don't live in that fairy tale world, folks. My soul is headed to eternity, and it's probably a lot closer than I even think. I don't want to miss heaven. I tell that to God a lot. Whatever I got to do, as low as I got to get, whatever I got to get up, give up, I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss it. And I need God's grace to help me to make heaven. We all do. You see, the devil will bring up something over here, get your mind occupied. He'll bring something up over there, get your mind on dwelling on those kind of things. And folks, next thing you know, you're so distraught with all the troubles and the things that are around you. Folks, I don't know about you. No, I'm going to speak for myself here this morning. I get a lot of strength from coming here. I get a lot of strength from coming to services. I get a lot of strength from being in the presence of God. And I know His presence is here because He said where two or three were gathered, He'd be here. I get a lot of strength for that. And when life sends me hard and difficult things, when I go to bed at night and I'm weeping on my pillow and crying because of the hurts and the hard things that are out there, folks, I'm so thankful that I have a place of refuge that I can come to. The other people that are like-minded, that desire to live the way that I desire to live. I'm thankful for it. You know, the devil's really good about playing one against another. He's really good about that. Be on your guard and be careful, folks. Playing one against another. He'll play against your affections. You love your children? I love my children. But he'll play against your affections and get your minds and thoughts upon those things so much, you may just slip up in your own salvation. You may just slip up a little bit in your own soul. Lord, help us today. They won't know. And they won't see until we're in the midst of them and destroy them. I think about the church this morning. The Lord wants to bless the church. He really does. He is wanting. This is what God wants. God wants the Latter-day Church prepared for the scourge of His wrath. We're here. I don't pray, Jesus said, that Thou will take them out of the world, but Thou will keep them from the evil that's in the world. Folks, I don't know how strong you think you are. Maybe you're stronger than I am. Maybe you can resist things on your own better than I can. And that quite could possibly be. But I know that with the grace of God and His Spirit working and dwelling within my heart,
And I know that if I keep a working relationship with Him, I know that He promised to keep me and be with me always.
Even until the end of the world. God's wanting the Latter-day Church, that's us, prepared for the scourge of His wrath upon the wicked. Folks, America is being judged. It's here. But it will be judged more. It will be judged more. There will be more attacks made in this country. There will be more things destroyed in this country. I don't say that to fear. But I say that the Lord said, when you see these things and you know that they're to come to pass, look up. That's where I'm looking this morning. That's where I want us to look. Stand firm. Stand your ground. Don't give up. What you've got, hold on to that and gain more. Now, you remember the Battle of the Bulge? You've all heard of the Battle of the Bulge in World War II and how that the Germans attacked one line of because they knew there wasn't a whole lot of soldiers there. And history tells us that they kind of pushed some of them back and there was a big bulge in the line, but they held on. They held their ground and territory and Germany was fought back and the charge was resisted. We can do that with Jesus. Jesus is our captain. He's our captain this morning. He's the one that promised to be with us through all of this. So He said here, therefore, verse 13, I set in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Someone's got to encourage the people. When the people saw what was going on, Nehemiah stood up with courage and he endeavored to encourage the people. And I want to encourage you this morning. Sometimes the enemy wants us to look at things and see hopelessness. But there's nothing hopeless with God on board, folks. There's nothing hopeless. He said, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Saints, let's fight for their souls. Let's fight for them. Maybe it'll take a little more prayer time at night before we go to bed. Maybe it'll mean a little rising a little earlier when we get up in the morning. But let's fight for their souls. Because eternity is forever. It's real. I was reading the scripture over in the 13th chapter of Matthew this morning where Jesus said, let the tares and the wheat grow together. What does that tell us this morning? The tares and the wheat growing together. He's talking about the church. He's talking about people in the church growing together. Tares are the weeds. But He said, the day will come when I'll send the reapers. And He explained it in again a little later. The reapers are the angels. I'm going to send the angels and they're going to separate the wheat from the tares. You believe that? Jesus said it. I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's just as real as you and I being here this morning. I believe it's just as real as life is to us here this morning. This isn't always going to be this way. One of these days, the Lord's going to finish His work on this earth. The Lord help you and I as God's people, saints. Every one of us that came to church this morning, we passed lots of churches, church buildings. And we passed a lot of people that are in deception. We passed a lot of preachers that are not preaching the truth. I fear for them. I shudder for them. To think that what it will mean to stand before God and give an account of what you've told people, what you've taught people, that's been short of the truth in order to win the crowds, in order to win the favor, in order to get the money, whatever it might be. I shudder to think what it will be for them. I believe hell will be a little hotter for them. I really do. I believe it'll be a little hotter for those that have caused others, other souls, to be destroyed in the devil's hell. Lord, have mercy this morning. It came to pass, verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone into his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Israel, they that which builded the wall, and they which bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. These were not defensive weapons, folks. These were offensive weapons. If that enemy was to come and break through there, they were going to fight him. And they were going to use offensive weapons. We have an offensive weapon, and that's prayer. And we need to wield it a lot more than we do. Praying continuously through the day. You may not always drop to your knees, but folks, we need to be praying. I pray through the night so much and so many times through the night. We need to pray, folks, because we need to understand the value of a soul. And we need to understand what a demon is. A demon comes where? Straight from the pits of hell. And he has one purpose, and that's to destroy. Considering the time that you and I live in today, I don't believe that there's any room for us to be lacking in spiritual weakness. Lord wants us to be strong. That doesn't mean, saints, that doesn't mean that we have to all have the same level of understanding. We may be on different levels of understanding, but we can still be spiritually strong. We can fight from the outlook that God has given us. We can fight from the understanding that we have. And every one of you in here that I'm looking at, I know you know what the battle is. And you know what it entails. And you know how to fight. But are you fighting? Sometimes I have a tendency. I've had health issues lately. And of course I've had them for some time. But even recently I've had health issues. And you know, sometimes I think, well, you know, I'm ready to go, so that's all right. You know, the devil wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. And then the Lord brought to my mind, well, if you're ready to go, that's good, well and good. But what if I've got more work for you to do? What if I want to send you here? What if I want to send you there? What if I want you to tell the people this or that? You know, I have to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. But it's so much easier for me just to give in. Say, well, okay, looks like it's over. Looks like it's over. It ain't over till it's over, is it? It ain't over until the Lord says it's over. And it ain't over until the Lord's finished with you. Until He's finished. Then it'll be over. He said, all souls are mine, and He's the one that gives life and breath and all things. So I'd have to say that He pretty much has the controls to this, doesn't He? He pretty much does. These people were building the wall. Saints, you and I stand for the truth. Even when they come along and shut down our bakeries and all these other things that the devil is doing out there in our country today, even when they're coming along and the mainstream out there thinks that it's okay to be doing this, folks, should you and I be tolerant to sin? Should we be tolerant to sin? Should we be passive and go hide in our houses or in our rooms and not say anything? Do you know that when somebody is doing something wrong and you know it and you don't say anything about it, they look at it this way, that silence is acceptance?
I'm not telling you to go out there on the streets and parade and do the things that they're doing out there. I'm telling you that when you get the opportunity to stand up for Jesus and tell people the truth, you better stand up and tell people the truth. And let them know that maybe how you feel about it, but here's what God says, and this is what God's going to judge when the world is brought to judgment. This is what God says. And that's what I want to stand by, what God says. I don't want to be silent on things that I know are wrong. I don't want people to think, I don't want my own children to think that because they're doing something and I love them, that I accept it. I won't do that, folks. I won't do that. It's my children, if it's me, my wife, or whoever it is, if God's Word comes against that, so do I. I love you, but I will not be tolerant of sin. I won't accept sin. You can change anything you want to change. You know, you talk about rights. People have rights in our country, but I want to talk to you about righteousness. What is right and what is righteousness? God's ways are righteousness. And His righteousness supersedes all the rights given to you and I by the government of the United States. Supersedes all the rights that people think they have today. Folks, it's the righteousness of God that I want to stand by, that I want to live by the help of the Lord. So, verse 18, for the builders, everyone had his sword by his side, girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We're separated upon the wall, far one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, and in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. There's a way that we can live a victorious life. There's a way we can win this battle. But we've got to realize that there is a cause. And we've got to realize who's going to fight this battle for us. You and I can only do our little part. It's like my wife asking me one time whenever I was preparing a message and getting ready to go to service. She said, are you prepared? I said, I've done my little 5%. The rest belongs to... That's all we can do, folks. 5% is probably stretching it. But we're dependent on the Lord. We are dependent upon God. Yes. But we need to recognize and understand and acknowledge what the enemy is doing and how he's trying to get our minds off track. How he's trying to get our attentions divided. Our affections divided. We need to have allegiance to our Lord, don't we? Time getting away, but Matthew 24 chapter, Jesus speaking here. Matthew 24:43. I'll read 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Then any of us want a thief come into our house and trash it, steal our valuables and our goods? Valuables, our valuables can be pictures. It can be memories. It can be a lot. None of us want that to happen. You know that's what the thief wants to do? Is to come in and destroy our valuables. The things that are precious to us. As Paul said it a different way, if I build again the things I once destroyed,
Folks, I make myself a transgressor. Don't let the enemy come along and get you to thinking, well, this isn't necessary anymore. That isn't necessary anymore. Folks, there are things that are necessary for you and I to live a holy life. You know, I don't know why I had this thought, but I was thinking about Friday night, my nephew, Arlen, Sister Lois's youngest son, stopped by the house and we visited. He'd never been to our new place. So I walked him through it, showed him the whole little thing in just a short time. And I got to thinking about this yesterday. For some reason, a thought came to my mind. You know, I didn't have to go hide anything. I didn't have to close my bedroom door because there was a television in there. I didn't have to go put stuff in drawers to hide them from him so he wouldn't see, because he knows his Uncle Larry is a minister and he knows how Uncle Larry preaches. And I want him to know that Uncle Larry lives that way every day. I didn't have to worry about him looking in a room and spotting a TV, no matter what size it was, because there is none. There hasn't been since the Lord saved me. And I thank the Lord for those things. Folks, our children, our grandchildren, they're dependent on us. They're dependent on us to be faithful. But I wanted to read on here. Jesus said in 44, "Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Lord, help us to be faithful, saints. Help. It's pressing. I know it's pressing. You know, I can leave the house and be here generally 15, 20 minutes at the most, probably less. Some of you folks drive a long ways. And you know, I admire that, and I feel like it's a sacrifice, but I tell you what, you cannot sacrifice too much for your soul. You can't sacrifice too much. If any man take up his cross daily and follow me, we've got to do that, folks. Taking up the cross. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to make heaven our home. I want to revisit something in closing. Something that I probably have brought, I know I brought out here in the past. But I want to bring it, revisit it again, because I want us to think about, give us some things to think about. We're living in these awful days. I'd like to revisit some of the things that we're fighting against today. Nehemiah didn't have these. He had literal enemies that he was fighting. It's hard for you and I to wrap our minds around enemies sometimes that we can't see. Something that is intangible. It's easy for us to grasp the things that are tangible, but I want you to understand what we're facing today. What's happening? Here's what's happening. The devil is breaking down faith. He's breaking down faith. I'm not just talking about trusting God for healing. I'm talking about faith. When people choose to, and decide that you don't have to do things this way, that, you know, we can let down here. The devil is attacking faith today. It's under attack. Wholesale. Lord, help us. Jesus said, "When I come back, will I find it?" If he doesn't find it among us, where's he going to find it, folks? We are facing the denial of the power of God in a Holy Ghost experience. I know it's things out there are well beyond what I'm saying today, but I'm bringing this down to you and I and the church. We are facing a denial of the power of God in a Holy Ghost experience. See, the devil doesn't want us to believe there's anything to that. We are facing the denial of definite answers to prayer. I've heard people say, oh, it would have worked out that way even if you hadn't prayed about it. That's the way it was supposed to be. Folks, Lord, help us never get into the place where we ask God for something and God answers our prayer and it doesn't mean something special to us. Because God gives definite, great definite answers to prayer. He told us to always pray and not faint. We're facing, number four, a denial of the revelation of divine things to the soul by the Holy Spirit. I believe God's still revealing divine things to His people. I believe God is still showing us a way more perfectly. I believe God is still showing His people how to humble themselves, how to die, how to commit, how to consecrate. I believe that that was the reason why the Apostle Paul was so successful in his ministry and in his life, because he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He realized he was human. He realized he faced temptations out there on the trail. Folks, you and I are human and we face temptations every day. Keep under yourselves. Keep under your body. Bring it into subjection. Because that's where the enemy attacks, see? Number five, great advances in the forms of godliness. Oh, I heard a guy the other day in public telling another fellow that he had gotten, the Lord had saved him, and He had given him a healing ministry. Just pray for people and they'd be healed, and you just, folks, God doesn't perform circus acts. He doesn't do things for people just because they call on His name. Folks, when you call on His name, when we call, let me put myself in there. When we call upon His name, we need to have a life to support what we're calling for. We need to have a life to support that. Great advances in the forms of godliness. You're not going to bring God down to man's size, folks. God is God. And He won't be brought down to our minds and our thoughts and our size. Six, an atmosphere peopled with evil spirits and heavy with a depression of hell. You think that we're not facing that today? An atmosphere that's peopled with evil spirits and heavy with a depression of hell. Don't you feel it? I do. Don't you feel the enemy oppose you sometimes when you get down to prayer? And you want to get in real earnest with God? Don't you feel Him oppose you? I do. That's where we're at today. But He told them, He said, fight. Take courage. God's on our side. Don't forget who God is, He said. Take courage. Seven, these spirits will do their utmost to injure, to mislead, to confuse and depress God's people. You see, they're meant to oppose God's people. He's already got the world. He's after you and I. Any way that He can get it. It was prophesied in Daniel. What I just said, folks, it was prophesied in Daniel that the devil would scatter the power of the holy people. That he would wear out the patience of the saints. Hold on, folks. Be faithful. It won't be long. I was down there Thursday. Witnessed a funeral. Brother Meredith Hughes. I looked at the man in the casket, his children, his adult children were standing there, and I said, there was a meek and a humble and a sweet man. One of the sweetest people I ever met. He didn't talk a lot. He didn't testify a lot. He wasn't the loudest person in the congregation. But I'll tell you what, his strength was in his quietness and in his meekness. And you could see God in him. You could see God in him. And I appreciate the life Brother Meredith lived. And I wanted his children to know that. Our bodies will be afflicted. Saints, we're going to have the same afflictions the world has. We see that today. I have a sister in California that's probably dying of cancer. There's been others. We're going to face some hard and difficult things. We're facing the enemy. Sometimes, you know who the greatest enemy is? Myself. Sometimes the greatest enemy is myself. And I have to get to that place where Paul got. And he said, none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. I've had to come to that place. And by the grace of, and the help of the Lord, I believe I've got there. I believe that's where I'm at. My soul is much more precious than my life. I believe that we're experiencing all kinds of strange feelings, and that new and peculiar trials will come to us as God's people. God's permitting it, folks. What did he say? I wrote that down here somewhere. Judgment must begin at the house of God. The time has come. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Folks, this is a testing time. Testing. I'm not. Some of you think, Brother, you're sure painting off a dark picture. I'm trying to explain to you what we're facing, what we're fighting today. The enemy wants to come in among us and he wants to destroy us. I don't feel like it's a dark picture because God has given us too many promises that he'd be with us. There is a surprising lack of desire and energy toward God. I'll just leave it at that. A deadness, a lethargy, a mental heaviness. It's getting harder and harder for us to keep our focus where it needs to be because of the oppressions of hell. And that's what our trials are designed to do, is to get us down. But God has desired, as Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God designs our trials to help us to be stronger. Folks, when God's people did not face persecution, when they did not face adversity, they fell away from God. But it's adversity and persecution that draws his people towards him. There is an alarming desire for forbidden things. I see that all the time. An alarming desire for forbidden things. It's very difficult to preach the word in liberty and power. And it is. One thing that makes it difficult for me is to know that the devil tells me people don't want to hear that. But folks, if it's the truth, and the Lord wants it said, I've got to do it. It's getting very difficult to preach the word in liberty and power. And it's also difficult to give attention to the word when it is preached. We're very busy in our world. Very difficult to get real earnest and continue in prayer. I hope by those things and things that we've said there here this morning, that you can see the enemy is among us. He's among us, but it doesn't mean we have to give in to him. It doesn't mean that he can overcome, but we've got to be strong in the grace of God. I want to read you one verse in closing. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful. God will bless your faithfulness, folks. He'll bless your faithfulness. It's when we're not faithful, he can't bless it. But he'll bless your faithfulness. God blessed his son's faithfulness, didn't he? Sometimes we think we got life so hard. Some of us really do. But does it really compare with what Christ went through for us? May the Lord help us this morning. I want you to be encouraged, but I want you to be aware. I want you to be aware of what you're dealing with. God's going to bring this world judgment. He, in His wisdom, knows how to do that. And we're going to allow that to happen. There's nothing we can do about it, but we still need to pray. And we need to stand our ground, and we need to be faithful. You pray for me that I will be faithful to the Lord. Amen.